All right, Matthew 13, if you will. Matthew 13. And when you get there, just mark it with your finger and go to Revelation 21. Matthew 13 and Revelation 21. I have heard recently, while you're turning there, I've heard recently that now they ordain and hire praise leaders, they call them, like they're some kind of Levite priest or something. They never preach a sermon, never teach a Sunday school lesson, but they call them ministers. And these now y'all, let me warn you about something. They say they're bringing in the Spirit of the Lord when they do what they call worship. Well, let me advise you of something. You bring him in when you come in. He lives in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That bringing in a spirit's heathen. That's like those idol worshipers and stuff trying to pray in a spirit. No, God's Spirit's already here. And what we do is we praise him. We don't bring him in. We recognize his presence. And if you'll do that, it won't all be about the flesh. It'll be more about the Spirit. We just recognize you, Lord, in your presence. We didn't bring him in. You can't bring him in. Okay? That's like going to a Rolling Stones concert or something. Matthew 13, since I made some of you kind of mad at me there. I want to talk to you today. You got Matthew 13, Revelation 21. You don't hear this much anymore. And I want to make something very clear. If most of you has read the story about the man up around Anderson, South Carolina, this mass murderer. Y'all know about it, don't you? Mass murderer. If you read what his mama said, she says he's not a bad boy, he's just misunderstood. And nobody listens to him. And it makes him mad. In other words, there's no such thing as a sinner that goes to hell anymore. It doesn't matter what people do, there's no consequences. Temporal jail, much less forever hell. And so I thought I'd just clear the air this morning. We're still a Bible-believing church, and hell is still in the Bible. And I just want to clear the air this morning. I'm not going to be mean. I'm going to be as best I can be. But I want to show to you the big question is, who will go to hell? Now, according to modern theology and modern church and modern thought, hell's not real. Nobody goes. Everybody's going to heaven. You're all right. I'm all right. We're just different. That good word, diversity, you know. Well, you know, there is diversity. There's sinners and there's saints. And some go to heaven and some go to hell. That's the diversity right there. But nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to be thought of as mean or unkind. Well, I've got news for you. I didn't write this book. I didn't pronounce these judgments. My job is to pass them on. Amen. And so is your job. Because if sinners die and go to a devil's hell and we don't warn them, their blood is on our hands. Amen. So let's look at what the Bible says. Matthew 13, beginning, if you will, there in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus telling this parable. He said the world's like these people, you know, and it's full of people, and they cast in a net, and they brought in all different kinds of people, just like fishermen. They sat down and they threw the bad ones out and they kept the good ones. And he said it's going to be the same way when this all winds up. The good, those under the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no goodness of our own, but His goodness, will be rewarded, and the wicked will be punished. You can't march up and down the street and burn buildings down and then expect me to look at you and say you're going to heaven when you die. I can only go by what I see. You can't cuss people and beat people up and shoot people and then God just say, "Oh, come on in." He ain't your grandma. He's not your mama that will overlook everything you do. He's God. He's holy. He's just. He's pure. And there will be a holy and just, pure judgment one day. Amen? We've lost that thought in America. Nobody's punished. Nobody's guilty. Everybody's innocent. Revelation 21, verse 8. I got to hurry. Revelation 21. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you'll go back just a couple pages to Revelation chapter 20, look at verse 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, there's more verses in the Bible concerning judgment than there is mercy. There are more verses in the Bible concerning hell than there is concerning heaven. It's a very serious thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And look, we got to quit pussyfooting. We got to quit watering it down. We got to quit making excuses for people. We've got to stop overlooking people and say, "Look, I love you, and I need to tell you something. You're on a dangerous road, and I love you enough to tell you when nobody else will." Amen. 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 And the only way we know that there's a hell is the Bible says so. I've never been there. You've never been there. We don't know anybody that's been there and come back. Doesn't matter what kind of book you read. The Bible is the only book that tells me that. You say, "Well, I don't believe it." Well, why do you believe the part that tells you there's a heaven then? It's the only book that's going to tell you about heaven. So if there is a heaven and God is holy and if God is just, and if God is righteous, and if there's a heaven, and if Jesus lived and died for our sins, there must be a hell. There must be. There must be. Would be no justice without it. So, if there is a hell, who goes to hell? Now, before I was saved, a lot of people told me to go. Probably told you to go. But they didn't really believe in hell, and they never would have told you that. Amen? Before I was saved, I had professing Christians tell me where to go. Amen. But they didn't believe in hell. If they did, they wouldn't want anybody to go. Amen. But there are some people going to hell. And we've got to admit that. It doesn't matter if it's my family or my friend or your favorite politician or your favorite movie star singing. Somebody's going to hell and somebody's going to heaven. There will be a division. Amen. The world doesn't like that, Brother Billy. And they call us bigoted. And they call us racist. And they call us homophobic. And they call us Islamophobic. And I don't know what xenophobic is, but they keep saying that too. They keep saying that too. I don't even know what that is. But the point being, listen, there is a right, there is a wrong, there's no gray, it's only black or white, it's truth or lie. It is either heaven or hell. It's righteousness or it's sinful. And Satan will forever be in hell. One day, old Smutty Face is finally going to get what's coming to him. Amen? Old Slewfoot, that dragon. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Y'all would have been here Wednesday night. Man, we got on this and Lord got in on it. There wasn't about 10 of us here, 15 at the most, and the Lord got in on this stuff. We talked about old Lucifer and the devil and getting cast out of heaven. Man, you ought to have been here. It was such a blessing. Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Hurry, you ain't listening fast enough. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You don't have time to turn there. I ain't got time to wait on you, but if you want to turn there while I read, Isaiah 14 tells where this originated. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Isaiah 14, verse 9. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations, and they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which did weakenest the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Ain't that what people think now? They're going to be their own God. Look at that last verse. Ye shall be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Now, he is an outcast from heaven. He right now only gets to go to heaven, Brother Billy, to accuse us. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. He walked up to the throne of God one day, and God looked at him and said, where have you been? He said, I've been to and fro in the earth. And he said, well, have you considered my servant Job? And then God let the devil do his whipping. God let the devil whip Job because he is self-righteous. Go back and read it. Read all the way through. And at the very end, Job gets right with God because he is self-righteous. And God let the devil do the whipping for him. But there's coming a day when God is going to cast him out of heaven for the last time. He'll no longer get to accuse us. And he'll have to go down into hell. He's not there yet. Don't be fooled. He's not down in hell with a pitchfork and horns and a pointy tail running around jabbing people. No, sir. He's alive and well on planet Earth, and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour as a roaring lion. I heard one Bible ignorant preacher on television one day say that the devil can't hurt us anymore, that when Jesus died on the cross, he pulled all the teeth from that lion. Well, he needs to go back and read his Bible, because after the resurrection, Paul said he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's right now. That's right now. Now, that old devil, I don't know what you think of him. Whether you believe in him or not doesn't change. Well, no, he's real. He's real. And I hate him. I hate the devil. I'm like old Billy Sunday. He said, I hate the devil, and I'm going to hit him long as I got a fist. And I'm going to hit him long as I got a fist. And when my fists wear out, I'm going to kick him long as I got feet. And I'm going to kick him long as I got feet. And when my feet wear out, then I'm going to gnaw him long as I got teeth. I'm going to bite him. And when all my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum that devil to death. I hate the devil. He ain't never done anything good for me or you. Amen? Amen. And I got news for you. One day he will be consigned to the fires of hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Christian ought to jump a pew and say, praise God, one day it's going to be over. Amen. 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 I told this fellow one day, I said, the devil's been over at my house all day riding me. He said, if that was him over at your house, who was over at my house? He said, oh yeah, that was my mother-in-law. I know that ain't politically correct, but some of you like it anyway. I had a good mother-in-law. She wasn't like that. And not only the devil, but the demons will be in hell. Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 2. I know you're not going to hear this on Joel Osteen. That's why the Lord sent you down here. 2 Peter chapter 2. He's going to lie to you and lull you into a sleep till you wake up in hell. Amen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah," we could put San Francisco and Chicago right there, "into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." Do you know who else is going to be in hell? Fallen angels. Demons. Demons are going to be in hell. Now, you got to remember, demons used to be angels. So that makes, they're still just as powerful. One demon is as powerful as 1,000 men. One demon is smarter than all the college, that wouldn't take much, would it? All the college professors in town. One demon, amen? But now, listen, where they were holy and righteous, now they're wicked and they're vile. And let me tell you something, they still possess people just like they did in New Testament times. I really think I've been around demon possessed. Yeah, I've seen it. I was down at the nursing home one day, and down in Catawba, and I was preaching. This young lady, she's not old, but she's blown her mind on something. And it reminded me of the book of Acts, that demon-possessed guy. I got there, and I said, "You need to get saved." She come stood beside me. She said, "You need to get saved." I said, "You're going to die and go to hell without a Savior." She said, "You're going to die and go to hell without a Savior." And everything I'd say, she'd copy me. Finally, I had to take her and move her over and set her down. There was some kind of spirit in that woman that I couldn't preach with her up there doing that. I'll never forget one time I was knocking on doors. I went into a house over here off of Freedom or somewhere over here, and some bus kids had rode my bus, you know, and I knocked on the door, and this old guy comes to the door, and it was dark in there, and I told him who I was, and he said, "Well, come on in." He was about drunk. And there was 2 or 3 other guys in there about drunk, and it was dark and full of smoke, and there was a woman sitting over there, and she was half-dressed, and when I introduced myself to him, you know, the woman actually growled at me like a dog. She growled at me and looked at me and growled. And then when I tried to talk to her, she had that deep, ugly voice, you know, like demonic voice, and I couldn't witness. I tried. But it was a miserable failure because the devil's crowd was in that room. Amen? And there wasn't much I could do. But listen, demons are real, and they're vile, and they're wicked, and they still possess people. Amen? And listen, the place called hell is going to be full of wicked and vile spirits. When we was young growing up, you know, Billy listened to AC/DC. I didn't. I listened to others. But one time they sang this song, "Highway to Hell." They sang, some of y'all nod your head. Y'all listen to that stuff. And I know we all did, didn't we? But they sang "Highway to Hell." And did you know the boy that wrote that song sang it a week after it was published, made a big hit? He had a car wreck and died and went to hell. And we used to say, "Boy, we're going to be like those rock stars. We die, we're going to go to hell and have a party with all our friends." There ain't no parties in hell. No, sir, there's torment and gnashing of teeth. You ever gritted your teeth? You hurt so bad? Gnashing of teeth is pain and agony and suffering. And the demons of hell will be there to laugh at you and make fun of you. "Preacher, I just don't believe that." Well, you just don't believe the Bible. Wow. Amen. Well, that's not what they taught me at school. Well, they taught you wrong. All right, let's go on. Not only are they going to be there, but turn to Revelation 14 real quick. I'm trying to preach quick as I can. You got a 45-minute preacher that's got 20 minutes. Revelation 14, look at verse 9. Now, I use a lot of scripture. And I know that guy on television don't, but I do. Because it doesn't matter what I say, what does the book say? Revelation. Look at it. Look at verse 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of the beast. Now, everybody that receives the mark of the beast will die and go to a devil's hell. There's no hope, there's no salvation, there's no getting it right, there's no going back, because they took that final step and said, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow this man right here. Well, people's doing that right now. We don't see him as the beast, but they are anti-Christ because they're against Christ. And people's following them. I couldn't sleep last night. I don't know if it was the Lord or if it was the devil. Sometimes I just don't know. But I know this, I couldn't sleep. I got up and I went in there and I turned on television. I went on YouTube to have these live broadcasts. And there was some people in these towns where they're having all this riding. And people would take their video cameras and walk with them and videotape. I was watching it live eye, man. Some of the filthiest, vilest people you... And see, there's no censor on these homemade videos. Some of the wickedest, vilest, ugly, nasty, mean people you'd ever met in your life. Out there all night cussing and fussing and tearing stuff up and burning stuff down. And listen, hell's going to be full of those people, because a lot of those people's already made up their mind, I'm following this guy. I don't care what Jesus said. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what the preacher says. This is me. This is my life. I'm going to live it. I'm following that man right there, and they're following not the Antichrist, but who are Antichrist, straight to a devil's hell. And such were some of you. That's what he said. Such were some of you. I used to be one of them. Some of y'all used to be one. Rebellious, ungodly people. Now, let me tell you something. You go to hell with those people, they ain't going to be no party. Did you know you don't have a friend in hell? Because if they're your friend, they wouldn't want you to come to hell. No friend would ever want you in hell. And these people are not friends. And let me tell you something. I watched the police lock them up. I watched them tear gas them. And I said, praise God, blow up another tear gas canister, lock them all up, put them all in jail, because they are a scourge on our society, and they need to be separated from our society, because they're hurting peaceful, loving, gentle, kind people. The good never fight, the wicked always do. There's going to be a separation one day when the high sheriff of heaven decides, it's coming, buddy. You say, well, that's mean, preacher. No, it ain't. It's righteous. It's holy. It's just. I wouldn't want my children to be in the same place with people like that, would you? Amen. Thank God for the governor of North Carolina. Amen. Listen, look at John chapter 3 real quick. In John chapter 3, most of you already know this, but I want you to see it in your Bible. I can quote it, but I want you to mark it. John chapter 3. Look at verse 3. You already know it. Jesus is talking to a very religious man who was not saved. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he's not going to heaven. So if he's not going to heaven, where's he going? There's only two places to go. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't badger people about it. I'm afraid I'll run them off. Where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? They're already going to hell. Where are you going to run them? They're already lost. You're going to make them more lost? No, sir. You ought to badger people. If you love somebody and they're about to get in a car wreck, run off a bridge and get killed, you jump in front of the car to stop them. It'll be the same way about people going to hell. And he looked at that religious man. He said, ye must be born again to go to heaven. Now, look, some of you may have got baptized, but if you wasn't born again, you just got wet. Some of you joined the church, but if you didn't get born again, you might as well join the Moose Lodge. Amen. Some of y'all might even read the Bible, but if you're not born again, you're number one, you can't understand it, but what little you do understand, you're going to take with you to the grave and die and go to hell without a Savior. Look, you must be born again. March the 5th, 1978. I heard that for the last time. I said, Lord, today's the day. And He said, it's now or never. And that day I went down the aisle and I asked Him to save me and keep me out of a devil's hell. And that's why I got saved. I didn't get born again because my wife was about to leave me. She wasn't. I didn't get born again because my kids were going to jail. They wasn't. I didn't get born again because I couldn't pay my bill and I was broke living on the street. That I wasn't. I got born again because I was afraid I was going to die and go to a devil's hell.
Amen.
That's why you get saved. What do you think the word means? Saved. Saved from what? Hell. Well, preacher, I'm following Christ because He's a sweet guy. He is, but He's going to be your judge one day. He's a wonderful Savior. And right now, He'll be the Savior. But if you don't get born again, He's going to be your judge, not your Savior. I'll never forget, I read that story one time. This boy got in trouble. And a young man, and he went to jail for a little while, and then he went to court, and the judge he was lenient. He said, "Son, I'm gonna have mercy on you today, and I'm put you on probation." And the boy didn't learn nothing. He went out, and he got in trouble again. A few months later, ended up right before the same judge. And the boy thought he had it made. Boy, I got it made. This guy let me off again. And he said, "Judge, you remember me, don't you? Remember me?" He said, "Yeah, I remember you." He said, "You remember you let me off?" He said, "Yeah, I remember I let you off." He said, "But today, I'm not your Savior today. Today, I'm going to be your judge. There's a judgment coming. Ye must be born again." Look at verse 18. Very simple on who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. Here it is. Here's how you explain it. Here is who goes to hell. Look at it. He that believeth on Him is not, can anybody say it? Condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. Amen? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you see that? There's two kinds of people, those going to hell and those going to heaven. Those that go to heaven, not because they're great people, God might have changed them, made them great, but they're saved and they're going to heaven because they put all their faith and all their trust on the risen Savior who died for their sins and rose the third day, and now they're trusting Him and nothing else, and that made them not condemned. Now, God does a great work in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things pass away. Behold, all things become new." He does change our life. It ought to result in being a better person. But we're not going to heaven because we're better persons. We're going to heaven because of the person of Jesus Christ. And what He did, He paid my hell for me. He paid my sin debt. I was condemned. I was going to hell. That day I turned to Him and said, "Lord, I know I ought to go to hell. I'm not a good guy. I'm not a saint. I'm a sinner, and I ought to go to hell if I get what I deserve, but I don't want what I deserve. And I believe You died on the cross to pay for my sin, and You rose from the dead the third day to prove that God had accepted the sacrifice, and now I'm putting it all on You." I didn't say it, but this was in my heart. If I die and go to hell from here on, it'll be trusting You and nothing else. I can't go to hell. Now, He changed me. I'm a lot better than I used to be. I'm not always what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I used to be. And thank God I'm not what I'm going to be. Amen? Amen. I'm different. Amen. But being different doesn't make me saved. There's a lot of lost people who are good people. I mean, if you go by man's law, not God's law, there's none good. No, not one, says God. Because everybody's broke the first commandment. You might as well not go any farther than that. You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind. Listen, sometimes you love you more than you love Him. And so every one of us is a sinner. I'll give you another one. We're not to bear false witness. There's not a person in this room that ain't never told a lie. If you say you haven't ever told a lie, you just broke your record. You lied. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But those of us that's going to heaven and not going to hell, it's not because we're good, but because of the good one that we put our faith in. Amen. And we were born again that day. We have passed from death unto life. I'll never have to go to hell. I'll never be condemned. He put all of that on His body on the tree. And that day He suffered for mine and your sins so that we would not have to go where we ought to go. Hey, you say, but preacher, I know some good people. Yeah, I do too. I know some people right now. There's an offering right there. And I know some people don't even go to church, don't believe. But you could leave that right there and give them the key to this building, turn out the lights and come back tomorrow and that would still be there. They would never steal a dime from you. There's some good people. They're not marching in riots. They're not burning things. They're not anti-government or anti-God. They're good people, but they're not born again. Now we're judging people by what man calls good and bad, not by what God calls sin. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he believeth not. Listen, he's calling God a liar. He's saying, Jesus, you're lying. You're not the Savior. You can't save me. Save me. She's saying, God, you're a liar. You didn't love me enough to send your son to die for me. I'm going to make it on my own. I'll be all right. I'll live this thing to where when I die, you'll have to let me into heaven. No, that's a sin, just like Satan. Lucifer said, I will ascend up to the Most High. I will sit on the throne. I will be God. And that's what we are. When we deny the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're becoming our own God, and we're going to try to make it on our own, and you can't do it. You're going to wake up in the devil's hell. Preacher, that's mean. No, I'm just trying to warn you. I'm waving the red flag. The caution's out. There's been a wreck, and it's you if you don't get right with God. You see, we tiptoe around people. We don't want to make them mad. If you make them mad, they won't talk to you anymore. I'd rather them quit talking to me than to die and go to hell and look up and say, he never told me. I wouldn't have been here if you'd have said something. Amen? One day there's going to be a great judgment. Those of us who are already saved, we will go out of here in the rapture and our works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We're already saved. That will be for reward or loss of work of our rewards, not heaven or hell. That's already been determined down here. But then long after that, after the millennial reign, the Bible says the earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. And the sky's going to be rolled back like a scroll. And all of humankind is going to be standing out there on nothing. You say, how's he going to do that? Well, he made everything out of nothing. And listen, the Bible says the dead, the small and the great will stand before God. And they're going to be judged. Not heaven or hell. They made that decision while they were down here. Either they accepted him or they rejected him. This judgment's going to be for degree of punishment, not reward. And the children of God, listen, the great white throne will be there and all the millions and billions of multitudes of people who are saved will be behind the great white throne as God sits on it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and the books are open and they'll go up one by one. You say, that'll take forever. There's no time up there. And he'll say, all right, angel, read me out of the book. Is his name written? He'll say, no, his name not written. Okay, then read me what he did while he was alive. and they'll be punished according to their works. Now let me tell you something. The sad thing about that is you and I is going to be standing behind the throne. And it's not going to be a happy time. Number one, I don't want anybody to go to hell. If you're saved by the grace of God, you don't want anybody to go to hell. You'd never tell somebody to go to hell. Not if you believe the Bible. Amen? And listen, I don't deserve to be saved no more than they do. But thank God somebody got the word to me and risked making me mad at them, risked losing my friendship, risked losing a relationship. They risked that and got me to the Savior. Thank God. So I'm behind the throne and there's people on the other side of the throne. And as they're coming up and being judged, we'll see people we know and that we grew up with and that we work with and that we're part of our family and our extended family. Are you listening? And I can give you one name right now. I'm not going to do it because it's on the internet. But I can give you one name of a young man when I was in my 20s. The Holy Ghost, every Saturday I passed by the road he lived on. And every Saturday I made excuses not to go see him. He was bedridden from an auto accident for years. People would bring him alcohol and drugs at his house. And he lay in that bed doing LSD and pot and liquor and everything else, lay in that bed, couldn't walk, couldn't get out of the house no more, and so-called friends just brought him that stuff. And every Saturday, I'd out on visitation, I'd go by that street, and the Holy Spirit of God say, turn down that road and go see him. And I'd say, I'll do it later. I made excuse. Next Saturday, the Holy Spirit say, you need to go see him. And I'd say, I'm going to go do that tomorrow. And every Saturday, I put it off until finally, after about, it wasn't quite 2 years, maybe a year and a half, somebody come up to me and say, you hear about old so-and-so? I said, no. They said he died last week. I don't know that he knew another Christian. I knew him as a teenager. He was the life of the party, man. He was the first one to drink. He was the first one to smoke. He was the first one to smoke pot. He was the first one to shoot up heroin. He was life of the party. You know the kind I'm talking about. I don't know that he knew another Christian. I didn't before I got saved. It hadn't been for that girl getting saved and come over here inviting us to church. Other than my mother-in-law and people like that, I don't know I'd ever gotten saved. But I knew somebody needed to tell him, and I knew he was going to hell if he died. And every Saturday for over a year, I made excuses. And now he's going to stand before that throne one day. And God's going to say, what do you got to say for yourself? And he's going to say, God, I honestly did not know. Nobody ever told me. And he's going to see me standing back there behind that throne. And I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know somehow his blood is going to be on my hands. And I'll be in heaven. And I'll live there forever. And I've got to watch him be judged. And I've got to hear God say to the angels, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. And every time we neglect to tell a sinner, because of our pride mostly, we don't want to be embarrassed. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. And they're going to stand there and you're going to be behind the throne and they're going to say, she never told me. He never said anything. I worked with him every day. I was her checkout girl down at the grocery store. She never even told me she went to church. You say, they're wicked. They ought to go to hell. Yes, they are, but so were we.
Right.
You say, preacher, that scares me. It ought to. It ought to. Matthew chapter 7, my last two verses. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 13. Enter ye in at straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And underline this, and many there shall be which go in. Thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And look at this, underline it. And few there be that find it. Who goes to hell? According to the Bible, most people on planet Earth will go to hell. According to the Bible. He said, wide's the gate, broad's the way it leads to destruction. That's hell. And narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to life everlasting. And he said, few there be that find it. It's just the grace of God. He showed you the gate. And some of y'all today, he may be showing you the gate. You might be on a different road than we are. And the Lord showed you this morning that you're headed to the wrong gate. I'd get it right before I left. And then let me say one more thing. I beg you. I beg you. Get your family and your friends to the Savior. I wouldn't let one of my children go to hell. I'd scream. I'd holler. I'd beg. I'd plead. I'd aggravate. I'd do whatever I had to do to get them to the Savior. I would not go to sleep and rest and enjoy life if my children, any of them, were going to hell. There were 9 people in my family, brothers and sisters. And we didn't all grow up together because some were so much older than me. I was next to the youngest. I'm the last one living. And I remember one day I got a burden. And I was young. I didn't know how to talk to my older brothers. You know how your older brothers intimidate you. You know, look at you. They say, oh, you're just stupid. You know, they intimidate you. So I sat down and wrote them a letter, several of them. And I said, look, I know I'm only half your brother. I know we had different fathers, but we have the same mother. And I know we hadn't always got along and we hadn't always talked, but I want you to know I love you. And since I got saved, and I told him about me being saved, how I got saved, I said, I don't want you to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Please ask Jesus to be your Savior. And I mailed them that letter. I didn't know how to tell them. I was young. I didn't know how to tell them. They intimidated me. But you know what? As far as I know, all but one got saved before they died. And it changed the way they treated me. They had more respect for me. They saw me not as somebody that was judging them, but somebody that was already judged, and I was just trying to show them they were already judged. Please, don't go to hell. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that liveth forever.